I'll go back to talking about my aloe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the top five leaves, I would say they're the nicest with the largest size and they're very cool. But I really am trying to keep that size going. So I hope once I cut it, we can just move into some regular growth. Because look at all those aerial roots. They're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if anyone needs a monstera aloe cutting with roots, 4 foot long roots, hit me up.
Yeah, I don't even know what you do with those.
You know, hope and pray. I don't know. Okay, cool. Well, yeah. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
And today we are going to be talking about Maranta and Calathea.
Or the Marantaceae family.
Marantaceae.
Maram, sure.
Because we had some changes and there's Gopertia in there now.
Yeah, Calathea. Calathea doesn't exist anymore, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, Calathea got turned into Gopertia a couple of years, well, a while back.
But
yeah.
They like nixed Calathea or are somebody still Calatheas?
I think most Calatheas got moved to Gopertia. I don't know if there are any Calatheas left.
Does
Calathea? Well, that's a shocker.
Yeah, Google's no help because they just like, right. Here's all the Calathea. And it's like, that's not what they are anymore.
Right. And they will never, never get the correct genus right.
No.
They refuse.
So for, you know, ease, because a lot of us, when we first started, no Calatheas, Calathea, however you want to pronounce it. I guess for the sake of the episode, we'll continue to call them that. Because I'm not going to know what is like still, is it Calathea rattlesnake or Calathea?
Gopertia rattlesnake.
Right. I don't know that. So.
Well, it's like how snake plant's been Dracaena for 10 years and nobody calls it that.
No, that's just silly.
So we'll acknowledge it and then we will continue to ignore it.
It's like Pluto is a planet. Like I acknowledge and respect the decision to not make it a plan anymore. I'm not going to accept it.
You know what you sound like? You sound like a boomer.
You sound like a flat earther.
What do you mean? Kayla. The earth is banana shaped.
You can't call out boomers like that. That's rude.
It's true.
Oh, so should I call them? I don't even know what their generation are. They're the baby boomers.
Their boomers are their, yeah. You just can't say it derogatory.
Oh, I can't? Watch me.
Yeah, derogatory words are their thing.
Yes. So we should kill them with kindness and insult them with intelligence.
I did that today on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I commented on a post and someone, it was to not go super long into a story. It was a Green Day post. I commented on it and someone was like, they're a bunch of socialist douchebags anyway. Who cares? I was like, wow, thank you for that information. I didn't know that.
That had no impact on why I like this band. And how I'm supporting them by going by to their concert on Saturday.
No, I've been getting a wave of calling out bad advice and then being like, well, that's rude that you're doing that. I'm like, I wasn't rude, but do you want me to say something rude so you can be right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. If you see bad advice out there, fix it. Don't really care what other people think. That's all I'm going to do is just write information.
Right. So back to the Marantaceae family. Marantaceae.
Marantaceae. That's fun to say. I like that.
They are also called the prayer plants. Also known as the prayer plants. Why? Because.
Just answer your own question. Yeah. Do it.
This I don't know why, but the leaves move throughout the day. And it's not necessarily to move towards light. They don't always, you know, turn towards light, but they just like to like flux and move. And if you take time lapses of them or if you Google a time lapse of them, it's really cool to see how much they move throughout the day.
They look like they're dancing.
Yeah, but the main reason why they're called prayer plants is because the Maranta line specifically, your Maranta reds, your the yellow band, the silver band, all those, they will put their leaves, they have, what's it called? Not compound leaves, but when they're...
Palmate?
Alternate leaves will fold upwards and they look like hands in prayer. So that's why they're called prayer plants.
Do you know what that movement's called?
No.
Nyctinastic movement. They don't really know why plants do it, but there's a couple other plants that also do that outside of the family.
Yeah. As far as growing them goes. Divas. Yeah. Well,
let's start with what's your history with them, Christine? When did you start growing them?
I started them. They were my very first plants. I was like, I'm going to grow. At the time, I was like, I'm going to get every single type of Calathea specifically.
Because they were cat safe.
Because they were cat safe and they're very pretty. Arguably the prettiest plants that you can get. But number one, there's over 1,200 species of Calathea specifically.
So did you get there?
No. I think I got to like 30 at one point. I have a picture somewhere. I really enjoyed growing them until I got spider mites. They're very communicative plants. They move a lot, like we said. So when they want water, they tell you. When they have pests, they will tell you. The unfortunate part is when they get pests, they will tell you about a day before they actually will die.
I was going to say, I've noticed that with the watering too, they'll let you know they need water, but by the time you see it, they're not going to recover fully usually.
It really depends. Some are better than others, right? Like, so when they really want water, number one, they do not like to dry out. They are one that you could keep moist all the time. Along the lines of your alocasia, don't keep them wet. They are not a lily, but you definitely want to keep them moist all the time.
Great for overwaterers.
Great for overwaters, asterisks, because I definitely wasn't overwater when I started, and I definitely rotted some.
I was going to say, they also seem to be a little more susceptible to dry rot if they dry out, because they dry out so quickly.
Yeah. You made me think of a thought I've had in the back of my brain of how overwatering is not really a thing. It all comes down to soil mix.
Yep. If you're having a rot problem.
Which we'll talk about next episode.
Yeah, soil mix and light. Where was I going with this?
Oh, you can't really overwater.
When they want water, so, like I said, some species are better than others. The leaves will start to curl, and like quite literally, like it's not the prayer thing I'm talking about. It's the edges of leaves will curl towards the center of the leaf.
Kind of how like you roll up a dollar bill to start something.
Yep. So with that, they're great like sentinel plants. I think you said your husband does that, he does that with pothos.
He does that with pothos, but it usually lines up with his Calathea network too. So
yeah, I've had when I had my gray star, because that was one where I could let it do that and it would never get too damaged. It kept growing happily. So if I like woke up one morning and saw that it curled, I was like, oh, I definitely need to water that corner of the plant room. So as far as care goes, they definitely like a little more water. They are very susceptible to pests, especially spider mites.
If you stress out your plant, it's more likely to get spider mites. So, yeah. Like,
it's easier
in
to
that
stress.
Regard.
Yeah, it's easier to stress Calatheas.
And I should say, we're talking heavily on Calathea.
Yeah.
So, in the Mirantaceae family, Mirantaceae, I don't know, someone will tell me what the correct way to say it is.
It's Latin. Remember, you just make it up.
No one knows. It's dead. There are Mirantas. There are Stromanthas. There are Tenanthas.
Tenethi.
Wow.
But it's spelled with a C.
Oh, that one. I always said that one, Tenanthi. But then again, I learned from a British lady.
Yeah. And then Calathea / Geopertia or whatever we decided it was now. Is there any others commonly grown?
Not commonly grown that I'm aware of.
So in those four genera, Calathea, I think we can all say by far is the hardest to grow. And then like your Mirantas and your Stromanthas are far easier. So they're less susceptible to pests. They are more tolerant of over and underwatering. Tenanthas, I haven't had a whole lot of experience with.
Super easy.
Very easy. Okay.
So Calatheas are definitely the hardest of them. I guess we should talk like what they look like.
There's so many different ones.
I know. the general look of them.
They usually have like bright colors and vivid patterns.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest delineations besides like their movement, they always have a deeper underside to the leaf.
Like a red?
Not white fusion.
You got me there. But that's a hybrid. That's not.
More naturally, they have the red undersides.
They have a redder underside, or I guess, it is mostly always red.
It's a characteristic of most Mirantas for light gathering.
Mm-hmm. The growth themselves, it's like a rhizomous type growth. It's like a stalk that like continues to stalk off of itself. They can have like a very thick base point of their growth pattern.
Similar to Bird of Paradise.
Mm-hmm. I said rhizomous, but they're also tubery. So they send off new growth off of each growth point. So it's, as leaves continue to grow upwards, the actual new plants, though, are under soil level and they will pop out. But as far as propagation goes, it's definitely division. Again, Maranta, Stromantha, Tenantha, far easier to propagate or divide than your Calatheas. Calatheas are very well known to absolutely hate being touched, period, in their roots. So just be mindful if you decide to pull apart a Calathea to make more of them, it's going to be pissed at you for a long long time.
You're gonna have to rehab it after you do it, but you can do it, and they will survive, and they will they can all make it. I've done it.
Yeah, so you might want to like
it does not look good.
You might want to talk to it beforehand, prepare it, just like be like, okay, this is what I'm thinking.
Get some counseling before you do it. The week
I was
before.
Just a couples therapy,
and it will still curl up and die. I do. Yeah, they're so pretty though.
How many are you growing right now?
Zero.
None. You don't even have any Marantas?
Mm-mm. I have. That being said, I want to get back into them.
I have three. Two Calatheas and a Stramantha.
I don't have any, but technically my husband has a Calathea.
Yeah, I have a Triostar.
Don't you have, what about the Musaica?
I don't have that one anymore. That one was always good about, it would like basically spend an entire winter dying back. And then I'd throw it outside and it would go insane during the summer. But this last winter, it didn't come back. It didn't revive. So I was like, well, I guess I'm done with you.
Network seems to be a good one, the Musaica, because it's so hardy. Because I know when Noah was looking at it, he's like, I know that these things are kind of not commonly grown for new, like newbies go for them, but then they're the most commonly killed one because he's heard enough to know. I was like, well, that one's a decent one. Give it a shot. And he's been growing it for nearly 2 years pretty well. Sure. It just never really slows down.
Yeah. Musaica / Network is a really cool one because it actually doesn't have the dark underside.
Yeah.
But the leaf pattern is, I always said it looks like plant cells.
Yeah.
It's just got all these like rectangles inside the leaf, like which
stained
are really
glass.
Cool. Yeah.
To me, they look like genetic barcodes.
Yeah. That one's like 50-50 whether or not it's easy. Like it does well for some people, but does not do well for others.
What I've seen is like a lot of people who move their plants around a lot struggle with them.
Sure.
But people who put them in one spot and never move them aside from like watering, they do pretty well.
I would argue that that's pretty par for the course for all Calathea.
Yeah.
As far as light goes for them, they definitely, I would say most of them are more of a lower quote unquote light plant. So if you have like a little arrangement in front of your window, don't feel like you have to put it up and in the window. It could definitely probably like sit down a little bit.
As I'm staring at my orbifolia, I'm trying to get to size up. It's in the middle of a south facing window right up against the window.
I say that because like mine, when they're inside, they've always done well in those kind of positions. But when I threw my Musaica outside, it was not full sun, but it was indirect sun and it was loving life doing its thing.
I find my rattlesnake like slower light.
Yeah.
And I can grow my Stramantha in either. I've done both. Because that one's interesting because it has the variegation. So when I grow it in lower light, it will give me more green leaves. And when I grow it in higher light, it will give me more white in my leaves.
Sure.
So I've done both. Currently it's outside getting fried because I don't have a shade cloth on the greenhouse.
And they say Noah just keeps his in a south window year round. It grows kind of slow in the summer because we got trees that shade the window. But in the winter, it grows like a weed.
Sure.
Okay. So consensus on light, give it a
medium to lower, I would say.
Play around with it is my advice. Because like you can start it off in one spot. But like if you want to grow it bigger, if you want it to improve, give it more light, which has been the case with my orbifolia.
Sure.
That one I've kind of, it's been a struggle bus, but not a big enough struggle bus that I've gotten rid of the plant. So I still have it. And I just put it in like a giant 10-inch pot and it's doing great. It's giving me plate-sized leaves. Still doesn't give me perfect leaves, sure, but I'm not giving it any added humidity.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
We'll get to it. Okay, watering. We kind of talked about watering.
Yeah.
Don't let them dry out.
Don't
keep them too moist. And then it all comes down to soil mixture.
I was going to say, would these be a good candidate for a wick or something?
Probably.
Again, depending on your soil though, right? Like,
well, most people who do wicks have their own mix with it. Like most people I know put at least like 50% perlite in it. Like it has to be well draining, of course.
I definitely made the mistake of having one in terracotta. Do not do that.
I mean, if you like to water every day,
I was going to think that thing was just constantly dry and dying. And I was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh yeah, terracotta wicks away water. I guess I never got to the point as far as like fertilizing stuff goes.
Oh, we should talk about LECA and semi-hydro.
Good luck.
Christine laughs. We tried this. I gave Christine a division off my Stramantha to like start.
Well, don't even start. That wasn't even my first attempt. I have done it three times.
Okay, that was the time I was present for, so.
The first time I did it was with a Calathea, and it was with a white fusion. Guess what? Didn't work. Literally, next day, I was like, fuck you, and was gone. Second time was what Caitlin was talking about. She gave me a Stramantha cutting, and I was like, okay, this time I'm going to root it in water first and then try it. That one also was like, nah, I'm good. After like a week in water, it was gone. It was toast. It was weird because it was sitting in water and dried up.
All right. Drama queen.
Last time was a Maranta, and that was the only thing I got to successfully prop and grow in Lekka.
Because you could take a proper cutting.
Yeah. And again, Maranta are so easy to grow. Absolutely loved being in Lekka. So I am still in the boat. If I can figure out how to get one in there, Calathea would do great. I just don't know. I would have to probably at this point, I have to get seed.
I wonder if, not that you want to like keep trying to transfer them over, but like make the plant really, 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 really happy and then attempt to transfer it over. Or what you could like maybe try is do the pond thing where you can leave soil on the
And like slowly start
on the roots and then put it in pond and then it'll slowly come off.
The problem is at some point you're gonna have to wash the roots and they don't
want to be touched.
They really don't like that.
We talked about this. I'd heard about it, and so I had to up pot my Calathea orbifolia from what was it? It was probably in an 8-inch pot to the 10 or 12-inch pot it's in now, and I made sure I was like not touching the roots. I'm going to get rid of any of the circling roots, but I'm just going to take it out, pop it in. We're good to go. And I think I did have to like mess it up just a little to like break the shape of the pot it was in, but like as minimal as possible, didn't skip a beat.
I was going to say, I never even risked that. I was just up and in. I didn't.
It's kind of funny because I just repotted Noah's Calathea mosaica and I took all the soil off all the roots and put it new because I moved it from peat to core and it's been a week and it's going still. So I'm kind of like if another week goes by and it's not dead, we'll be like, okay, that was semi-successful.
If he's in a south window and he's happy, maybe
it went right back to its old spot.
Yeah. I would argue, I mean, you're still in the timeline where it could probably decide like,
yeah,
nah, I'm out.
Yeah. I told him
within 4 weeks, I would say if it's clear, you're good.
I told him to not water it for a week, doing the old succulent thing to just hold back and hopefully it doesn't rot because I know I damage stuff and I'm like, okay, don't water. And then I think this week he's going to water for the first time at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting if it dies via root rot. Like if he...
Instead of just like I'm pissed off by.
Yeah, yeah.
I figured I didn't want to add to pissing it off more.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that being said though...
That in my mix, my substrate was slightly moist whenever I potted into it. So there's moisture available to it.
Yeah.
Just not a lot.
The nice thing about this family... Very akin to alocasia again. Worst case scenario, cut it to the soil line.
Okay.
They like I said, it's all tubers underneath.
Yeah.
If tubers are happy and say you have like a really severe pest infestation, cut it back. Just cut it back to the soil line. I will say they're harder in alocasia in the sense that you need to make sure you're doing everything correctly to get them to come back, but they can come back and will come back.
What is the scenario we find ourselves in order that we should do this? Is it just for pests or if it dries up and gets crispy or like, where does this advice come into play?
Definitely pest number one. Like if you have been trying to get rid of spider mites and it just won't stop, cut it all back. Crispiness.
I would just cut back the crispy bits and be like, let it continue on. Cause like, that's not worth a reset.
Yeah. With my Musaica, it was kind of like, if I cut back some crispy bits, it would be like, okay, cool. You want me to grow more and would do that.
If you're going to do that just because everything's crispy, you don't actually have to cut it down to the soil line. You can just cut off all the leaves.
Yeah.
Cause then you're still leaving the point that the plant is going to be growing from, which gives you a little bit of a jump start. And then you don't have to wait for that to regrow itself.
Yeah.
It can just put out a new leaf from the point it already has.
I definitely have some fun pictures/highlight reels on my personal Instagram account of like Calathea new growth. I think I had my Musaica doing like 14 coming out at once.
14 leaves?
Like 14 new points. Yeah.
Crazy.
It was just like, here we go. And just like put out a ton of new growth points. That was cool. That was definitely, and again, it was my like first year of growing plants. So when I saw that happen, I was extremely like proud of myself that I was able to get that to happen. Pests, yes, because when Calathea puts out new leaf, it has a sheath it comes out of.
Like a paper bag.
Yeah, it's got a little, it dries up like almost instantly. And so that's fine. That's normal. That's what they're supposed to do.
You can pick it off if you want. You can leave it if you want.
Highly recommend you pick them off.
That's where the spider mites will hide.
Because that's where the spider mites hide. That is why I think Clathier are so prone to spider mites, is because spider mites love to live in the little dead stuff that hugs close to a plant.
Well, and like the way the leaves grow, they're stacked right on top of each other and you can't get in between those cracks. So yeah, like it's probably a nice little warm spot for those guys to cuddle up in.
Yeah. So I was pretty notorious.
Well,
No. What's the word?
Diligent.
Meticulous about pulling that up. You don't want to obviously hurt the plant. If you give it a tug and it doesn't come easily.
Orbifolia is one that it's so hard to pull those off. And then dead leaves. I'm just like ripping a whole section of plant off the pot sometimes because I'm like, get off! Yes. And they won't.
If it doesn't come easily, I will go and just cut them, or I would go and just cut them. But a lot of the times, by the time they're dry, they just come right off.
Yeah. Did you ever get any other pests besides spider mites on your Clathias?
I only remember having spider mites.
Okay. Best way to treat fire. I would have to say beneficial insects on this one, because those beneficial bugs are going to get in those cracks and devour those little shits.
Yeah.
So that's probably your best bet. I have successfully eradicated them with spraying various pesticides on my plants. But again, if you're not getting every nook and cranny, like they will come back.
I think they're a plant that's going to like really like just being washed. So you could just do the good old hosing them like crazy route.
But again, the nooks and crannies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to be meticulous of getting in there.
I think at this point, if I had a Calathea with spider mites, I would just throw it away.
That's what happened to my last one.
Like I'm thinking about it and I'd probably cut my Stromantha back to the soil, but yeah, the two Calatheas I have, Rattlesnake and Orbifolia, if you get spider mites, you're going in the trash.
Just gone.
See, that's funny, because I was repotting Noah's and I found a ton of spider mite damage. I was like, no. And then I'm looking over the plant, all the new growth is pristine. And I'm like, what the hell? I had been throwing my waste sachets from my bugs onto his pots.
Oh,
I guess I fixed his problem before we knew it was a problem.
Yeah. Wow, how convenient.
I'd probably do the soil line thing first. But I'm definitely far better at, one, just looking at my plants, and two, checking for pests that I don't know. I would have to see if I'd be willing to try and fight it or not again.
I'm living the good life where my plants are happy and I'm not getting pests, knock on wood.
Yeah.
I don't have time to sit and enjoy them very much. So like, I totally know what damage looks like. If I see it, I'm spotting it right away. But like, oh, let's pray it doesn't get there.
Right. Let's
keep up on my beneficial bugs.
Yeah. So at the beginning of my plant journey / kind of beginning of yours, like, remember how crazy we would get, or I would get specifically?
About a new Calathea.
And that's where I was like, oh man, I kind of want another one again.
I remember our conversation about medallions.
And we used to find them everywhere. They would be at grocery stores. They would be in Targets.
But I hated how they're always $20.
But in grocery stores, I feel like I got some at Cub that were like $12 and they came with a pot. So that's, good deal.
I mean, by the time that those were coming around, I probably already had those or didn't want them.
Right.
I was looking for the rosy for the longest time because I wanted that all pink leaf.
Yeah.
And they're never anywhere except for $20. And I'm like, I just can't spend $20 on a plant that's just going to get crispy on me and I'm going to have to fight with it before it's happy. And like, if it was 10 or 12, sure, I'm buying it. But like, I never saw them for less than that.
Yeah.
Or sorry, more than that. Sorry. I'm saying this wrong. I never saw them for under 20.
The rosies, yeah.
The rosies. And then it kind of goes for like a lot of the other ones too.
I remember seeing the Princess Jessie's at Lowe's for pretty cheap.
Oh, I did like that one. That was an easy one to grow. Easy-ish. More forgiving.
Sure. Do we want to? Okay, yeah. So what, if we're going to talk Calatheas, easy versus hard?
Easy Calathea Rattlesnake.
By far. If you want to get into Calathea, you want one that looks really cool. You want one that's really good about moving around a lot on you. Rattlesnake.
Love a rattlesnake. On the opposite end, white fusion.
Yes.
Hard.
I was going to say, one thing I've noticed with them is that if they've got a thicker leaf, they're usually easier. If they're thinner, they're usually harder. Yeah. And that's kind of how I judge.
Thin.
Yeah, just because it's so hard to keep with how many cultivars there are of that one. Like, I'm always seeing
white fusion, yellow fusion.
Yeah.
Or do they just call that one Aurea?
No, they had to create the yellow fusion because people killed their white fusions. Then that's, because when we were talking pests, I like hesitated to bring up alcohol sprays because of like a white fusion, that thing would just crisp up on you.
Yeah.
Because your alcohol is just going to dehydrate the leaf. And if it's that thin, it's just going to be like, nope, I'm out.
I was gonna say the cuticle is way too thin on that leaf to withstand alcohol.
Yeah. But you could probably spray alcohol down on a medallion or a rattlesnake and it'd be okay. Just be careful about it.
The various versions of Roseopicta, which will be your medallions. There's a bunch of them, but those are all pretty easy. I wouldn't say as easy as a rattlesnake, but I would say like the next step. And I think Princess Jessie and Dottie fall into the Roseopicta category.
Yeah, I think they were all technically Roseopicta. It's just what variety of it.
Pretty much any of the pink plants are the ones that I had. So that was my goal with those guys. I did have a regular medallion version too, which I liked and had for a while.
Oh, yeah, the tiger stripe. Can't remember what that one was called.
Different plant, pinstripe. That was more challenging. Not as hard as a white fusion, but definitely.
The Ornata?
Maybe.
Is that the one with
Let me double check.
The one that looked like crayon lines on it?
Crayons.
There's the one that's got a real dark green leaf and then like a bright pink strands on it that look.
Yeah, that is the pinstripe.
They almost look like they've been drawn on. Yeah. That's the Ornata.
That one's cool.
I really like the peacock one, the Mayo.
Makoyana,
there it is. That one, probably besides my Musaica, probably my most successful one. That one was happy.
Yeah, Makoyanas are pretty easy. That was one I grew for a while.
I had a Tenantha Gray Star. That was also really nice. I also had a Fishbone. That one got huge.
Let's see, what was the Tenantha? Are we in Calathea?
We're in Marantasis.
Hard level. We do all of them.
We can do all hard levels of the family. Yeah, so okay, yeah, going back to easy mode. All Marantas, the reds, the yellow, the lemon lime. Easy. Yeah, they're all easy.
The specific Tenethi I had was the Bromarxii. Super easy. And then once they're happy, they just like spread and do their thing. And they're cute because they grow like flat to the soil.
Yeah.
And so like mine was just like flush with the pot. Yeah. It was really neat.
They, I'll circle back to that. The Triostar is also a really easy one, I would say. Stramantha.
Yeah, I would put that up there with as easy or easier than rattlesnake. I love my Stramantha.
That one definitely takes repotting better, points. Definitely takes division better, definitely.
I had a last summer I let my Stramantha get really, 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 really big, and then it needed to get split because there was no way that thing was coming back inside. And I put it, I think I split it into like 7 or 8 plants. Christine ended up with one of them.
Yeah, it's massive.
But before I could like split them or before I could sell them, after I had split them, they were all just like dying on my deck. And, like they all had roots and stuff, but like all the leaves like crisp up and then they had to like grow new ones. And like some of the plants, all of their leaves didn't get crispy. Some of them definitely did. And I had a pot of nothing that I had to regrow. And like, I don't know. I gave them time. They all came back. I sold them at various points. You took one. You see it's big now? How big?
I need to repot it. It's still in the same pot you gave me, but you gave it to me.
Six inch pot.
Yep. And it's full. It's happy. I can take a picture of it.
Yes, please do.
Maybe it'll be my plant of the week. It's got some browning going on, but I threw it outside and was like, deal with it. So
mine,
that's been happy.
Oh man. Mine got a little toasty in the greenhouse. So all that's dark green was now light green and I got to nurse him back to health a little bit. But
yeah.
Be happy.
Going back a little bit on growth patterns and stuff, because you brought it up. Maranta and some of the Tenantha are crawlers. So you will see them in like hanging baskets, but don't expect them to ever vine and don't ever expect them to climb. So like I see people constantly trying to get them to like hang down as like a hanging basket, but they'll keep growing like outwards. And then they kind of do the Polynera thing. Yeah. Gravity will come over and then they kind of like start to drip a little bit, but they never like trail nicely like a pothos or, you know, a string of. And then vice versa. I've seen people try to climb them on like trellises and it's just, no, they don't do it.
Or they do what they want.
Yeah, they're crawlers. So they kind of just, kind of self-support themselves out. So I've seen a lot of people have success with like just putting them in like giant bowls essentially for pots and letting them fill those out.
I wonder if we were to, like if I was to grow one of those in my style of over large plants, how wide / big? / how big until I got sick of it we could do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so that was back in my, not to name drop too hard, back in my plantarina phase when I would like use her as my advice.
Disclaimer, we do not advocate listening to plantarina for any advice, be it DIY crafting or plants. Please just don't.
Yeah. But she used to have some really nice calathea.
We can invite her on the show and fight her.
Plantarina?
Yeah.
She disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, deleted her YouTube and everything.
There was a whole drama.
It's all gone?
It's all gone.
Well, there was that big drama of them selling white princesses for like crazy expensive prices, and they end up being... Sorry, take it back. They were selling white wizards for crazy expensive prices, and they were all white princesses.
Yeah, I kind of watched her videos when she first started, and I was like, I'm not going to follow this lady.
She glorified being lazy a little too much. Mm-hmm. And when you're a beginner like me, it wasn't good advice to be taking.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she doesn't water stuff for 2 months. I cannot water stuff for 2 months. It's like, oh, wait, no.
Yeah.
Spider mites. So slight dig, sorry, name dropped.
It sounds like Plantarina is back, but as Make It with Amanda.
Who's Amanda?
I don't know. Who isn't that her name?
What's she making?
I don't know. That's what the internet says.
Interesting.
Her new channel. Look, I'll pull it up.
So we went over light, we went over water, we went over, I guess, soil. I haven't had them to like try it in an airy mix.
They're very fibrous, rooted like a begonia.
Yeah, so maybe they don't want to go a little denser.
Yeah. Smaller particle sizes.
Yeah. That being said, I mean, obviously you want your normal aeration because you don't want to suffocate them.
But you probably want enough of that biomass in there so it can hold water at a decent rate too.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I take that all back. I had my Gray Star. I literally put it in 100% coco coir and it loved it.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it was like, bring it on. Let's do it. Yeah. So that's definitely, if I was to get them again, I probably am going to go and buy one this weekend now that I keep talking about it because I have missed them.
You're going to go get one this weekend?
Maybe. I don't know. I do miss having them. I want to try one again.
Are we talking about Marantas?
No.
Sorry, Calathea.
Calathea. I put one in 100% coco coir.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
They sell them to you in coco coir, and people are like, that's too dense. No. That would be great.
Yeah.
No, a lot of times they sell them in peat, and that's fine. That's fine for a little bit. But once it starts to break down.
Originally, yes, they were selling them a lot in peat. Towards the end of my Calathea collecting, they had started to swap to coir. It was actually pretty nice.
How long I've been out of the
princess
game.
Yeah, they had, when I found the Princess Jessie's in Lowe's, they were in 100% core, in a wick, in a like a bin with water, like almost to the point they were getting overwatered. So humidity, and this is where Caitlin's going to talk.
Oh, humidity. Let's see. It helps, but you can do it without it.
Yeah.
The big thing is not letting them dry out.
Because everyone's going to tell you Calatheas need humidity.
Guess what? It's not make or break it, guys.
They're all going to say you
need make or break it.
You need a humidifier. You need to mist them.
You can test this one out yourself, and you don't have to take my advice for it. You can prove me right. So browning on the edges of the leaf tells you whether the plant needs humidity or not. If the browning is uniform all the way around the edge of the leaf, it's a humidity issue. If the browning is jagged or, you know, the edges are, you know, doing what they want, whatever, like not even, not humidity.
What is it?
Most of the time with Calatheas, the next thing from low humidity or crispy edges is using tap water to water it.
Is that an actual problem?
Yes. They can't handle the amount of, they don't like the hard water. So like a lot of the like minerals do tend to accumulate in the tips of the leaves. So if you're sitting like the browning tips that are really annoying that people say, oh, you need more humidity. In my experience, that's always been switch to RO water. Those stop.
I don't bother with fancy water because I don't have time for that. I have too many plants.
I was going to say that's been on my finickier Calatheas that I played with.
That's definitely going to be a thing you see if you're a beginner to Calathea, people are going to be like distilled water only.
Don't bother, guys.
I never bothered with that.
My rattlesnake, I have never given him fancy water and I don't get like, I'm sure he's got some brown tips, but like, it's not an issue.
Right.
Stramantha, as long as you don't let him dry out, never been an issue. Right. If I let it dry out, yeah, I get brown tips. Calathea, which one is that? I'm staring at it. It's called the Orbifolia. That one's interesting because if you look at the older leaves, we have like some brown edging and some like, you know how it goes, like the brown crispy bits and then like the outline of yellow and then it goes into normal looking leaf. We have some of that. But if you look at all the new leaves, guess what? No browning because I'm not letting it dry out.
Sure.
I'm also not watering it with the fancy water though, Mackie.
I
don't know if that will eventually come into play, but
I feel the RO thing was a little overplayed because there are a few of the smaller species of Calathea that do require RO water because they will straight up just kill themselves with anything but RO water. But I feel a lot of people were taking that out of like, oh, all of them need it. Because the Calatheas that you're talking about, the Orbifolia, Rattlesnake, those are the thicker ones that are, I feel, are more hardy against and don't need less minerals in the water.
That being said, though, I mean, and I, where I live, we have very hard water.
Yeah.
I definitely was getting like salt deposits on mine as they were growing, but I was willing to deal with that. Your like white fusion probably is the one that would, I would say, yeah, distilled water, RO water, whatever. That's you got to do.
Specifically the one I was talking about.
I'm going to put my foot in here and say I had a white fusion and grow with no crispy brand tips and did not use fancy water.
What happened to it?
I mean, eventually I just sold it because I was sick of nursing it back to health every other month. But like,
all right, fine. Well, you've got miracle water
nice
here.
And it was great. No, that was in Minneapolis.
Oh, that well, again, river water. You get the nice water. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
And that's something that I've always said is sometimes you just get a shitty plant from a store or whatever. Sometimes you're just set up to fail from the very beginning.
Maybe that plant was growing in the dark for 6 months because no one bought him because he looks sad.
So he wanted to live.
Or die. if you guys don't like the crispy brown tips and it's not overtaking the entire leaf, you can just take a scissors and trim it off.
Or live with it.
You could do both. I have lived with it. And then the other day, I got sick of looking at it on my Orbifolio and I trimmed it back. And now I like that plant. It looks so much nicer now. All brown shit's gone. So
does your Orbifolio get fertilizer?
Yeah. Because every plant on the main floor gets fertilizer. Plants upstairs, it's hit or miss. Plants downstairs, I forget.
That being said, I wouldn't say they need it. I don't think they're a plant that's like, oh my God, I have to have fertilizer to live. Yeah.
I got into fertilizing religiously with pH balanced water because of my alocasia. And then everybody else just gets it because I have that one track mind where if I'm doing it for one, I'm doing it for all because this is my routine now.
Right.
I was going to say, if I had any Calathea maranta, I'd probably just amend the soil with like worm castings or something because I wouldn't want to deal with fertilizing that level.
Banana peels?
Yeah. Banana peels?
No.
Eggshells? Come on.
No, do not soak them in water and water your plant with that water. It's not doing anything other than stinking up your house and annoying the people you live with.
You speak from experience.
There are so many other things I do that annoy the person I live with. They wouldn't notice.
I'm trying to think what I do that annoys Brandon.
Actually, I would say that's true, except for the fact that would, if I use banana peels and eggshells, I have a feeling fungus gnats would happen. And that's a no-no in our house.
I'd probably get blamed or get called a witch or something if I started doing that. So
she's a witch. Burn her.
Not that it's a bad thing. That's just what would happen.
I totally stopped thinking about what I do that annoys Brandon because I didn't want the negative brain juju. I don't know. There's something. I can't think of it. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I also don't want to think about it because I don't want to feel bad.
Avoiding the bad vibes.
I think.
Moving on. Back to topic.
Yeah, I keep saying, like, I think I'm going to do it. I want to try it again. I'm definitely better at growing plants. I definitely have a better setup going that I could get one and try Calathea again. I'm trying to think which one, like, I miss the most.
Maybe you just go to the store and find whichever one's not $20.
Like I said, you can't really find. I'd probably have to go to like a Home Depot to find something that's in the cheaper range. Because at the local nurseries, they are not
popular right now.
Well, they're not cheap anymore. Because
they're not being made in mass, probably.
Yeah, that are just like naturally, a certain nursery just keeps upping their prices. And what I could get for $12 nowadays, I think is like $22 minimum.
Get a Tanithi; it'll be easy.
A Tanithi?
No, I've been kind of thinking about getting something and putting it on a wick just to see what it does. But if I'm going to do that, I need something I'm going to want to look at. Mm-hmm. And most Calatheas don't do it for me.
Oh, really?
Print out a bunch of pictures of Noah's face and put them on each of the leaves. And then you'll want to look at it. Was that a horrible idea?
All I can think is the paper would block the sunlight from getting to the leaves and I would have little spots of Noah on my plant.
Oh my God, that would be kind of funny.
Hey, Caitlin, can I borrow your Orbifolia?
I don't want Noah on my plant.
Well, I'm not going to put him on my plant.
Oh my God. Hey, just put him on my plant that I grow at my house and then you can come over and see him once a month when we record at my house. What if we did it on like the overhead projector paper, the clear stuff?
Oh my God, that could work. The transparencies.
Yeah. So then it's only blocking out like the dark parts. Actually, you'd have to do it negative so the light parts get blocked out. because then those will get darker. No, shit. Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
At what point do we just give up and start spray painting these plants and calling it good?
You know, you could get cactus at Home Depot in pink, red, blue, and purple right now. Oh, and God. Light blue.
I've been looking at those and it's just terrible. It's like,
don't you just want to get one?
One of the Home Depots up by me, I think it's the one in Fridley, had a bunch that started to grow and they look horrible. It's like big, strong, meaty growth that's been painted and then the weakest, most etiolated growth I've ever seen. And it's just like, that looks horrible.
Poor guys. And then they're already in the store, so they're getting no light.
Yeah, and no water.
I mean, not that they could use the light if they were getting it.
Yeah, that's why I always go on Tuesdays, because that's when they get their stuff in and it's in the best condition.
I mean, if it came last Tuesday and you bought it a week later, it's not going to be the worst. But the plants that sit there for months.
No, but the problem with that is aloe mites. At Home Depot, they have an aloe mite problem. And if things have been sitting there for a week, I don't want to bring that home. Because if an aloe mite outbreak happens in my collection, I'm fucked.
Your collection of aloes.
Aloes, Haworthia, Gasteria, they're all susceptible to that and it'll wreck them all.
Our semi-annual PSA to always check your Home Depot and big box store plants before you bring them home for bugs.
Yeah, so Calathea freddy is probably the one.
Okay, Christine finally figured out the plant.
This is just excellent. A side conversation to entertain me and Kaylin while she looked that up.
Yeah, Christine was just like, gotta look this up, and Mackie and I were like, let's talk about
that. Actually, while I was looking through my pictures, though, I remembered there is a definite level of difficulty in Calathea in all of the velvet leafed ones.
I know, that's why I wore the whiskey eye,
the Zabrina, the, what's the one that starts with an R? The super fuzzy one that's like spider mites next day when you bring it home.
Yeah, those are gonna need higher humidity with how fuzzy they are.
Yeah. I do love them. They're very fun to like touch and play with, but yes, they are. Is
it Rufy Barba?
Yes. That's the one.
I don't like that one. That one feels a little, that one's the furry. It's too furry.
It's so fuzzy.
It's like a grip your fingers type furry.
Yeah. Whereas like the Warskowski eyes that they've got at like a Como are like really nice. I like, those are like my favorite ones to go touch.
I never had any of the fuzzy or velvety leafed ones because I was already overwhelmed with all the other ones. And the fuzzy and they didn't come in pink.
Okay. So whenever I first started with Calatheas, I wanted the fuzzy ones. Uh-huh. So I ordered the fuzzy ones, and every time I ordered a goddamn fuzzy one, I got the other species that had no fuzz on it every freaking time.
Oh, so you probably got the Freddy.
Yeah.
The Freddy's the hard leaf version of the
Zabrina. I gave up after like the sixth time of that happening, and I was like, I'm not doing this again.
Mackie does not get the furry leaf.
I'm a tactile person. I like to touch stuff.
Yeah.
It gets me in trouble all the time.
To wrap it up, in the Marantaceae family, definitely if you're a beginner, start with the Maranta. Definitely start.
Does the color matter?
What do you mean?
You said in the Marantaceae. Oh, I guess that covers all of them. Start. Okay, never mind. Go on. I was like, Marantaceae does not include.
Marantaceae does not include, or it does include Calathea, but Maranta is what you're talking about,
Maranta,
right?
Maranta is a genus within the Marantaceae family. I know that's confusing, but yeah. But yes, I would, definitely start in that category. I would say Maranta / Stromantha.
Yeah, if you get good at those, get a rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm. And then a medallion.
Yep. And then when you want to...
And then 15 years later, maybe try a white fusion.
When you're into like a little BDSM stuff, get the white fusion. Because that one will...
That would be one that I would probably go hardcore and do RO water, treated water, probably silica to try and keep the white happy, like all of the things. What?
Doesn't need it. I grew it just fine.
Says you. All right.
Now you're making me want to go find one so I can prove to you.
We're going to make a competition. Competition.
We could do that. Maybe if I had like 25 plants.
That's never going to happen.
Okay, but hold on. I'm at like somewhere under 100 and I would like to, at the garage sale, get down to 75 because I'm just, the amount of gallons I have to go through when I water these plants is more water than if I had 250 plants.
Sure.
So I'm just overfilling up gallons of water.
Plant of the week?
That's a good question. What is my plant of the week?
I'm going to cheat since we talked about it. I'm just going to say my Triostar is my plant of the week.
I'm going to go with my Phyllobulus tenuiflorus that I just repotted. I had 4 seedlings and they got little inch wide codexes. And I'm like, yes, they're cute and they're flowering. I'm already getting seed pods off one and I planted them literally in December.
Nice.
I'm either killing it or they're just quick to reproduce. I don't know yet.
Yeah, they're dying. So they're producing to survive.
I'm going to go with, I had to double check that I haven't done this one recently. My giant Thai constellation
Wow.
is going to be my plant of the week.
I don't know why.
Excuse me?
If you took like a first grader and like rolled them into a ball, they'd be as big as that leaf.
If you took a fresh grader, what?
First grader. We're beyond toddler stage at this point.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's probably the size of like Simone Biles when she does a tuck while she's doing her gymnastics.
That's the size of my leaf.
Yeah.
I actually, Maggie, I got distracted when you were here because I meant to go get my tape measure and then I got distracted by other things. I was going to measure how big that new leaf is, but the two leaves prior are 31 inches tall.
Nice.
Yeah.
My,
and then I have like 12 leaves on there now. It's a beast. I love it.
My most recent leaf is probably about this size.
Oh shit. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's starting to size up pretty quick.
Love that.
I just really turned the light on my Tycon corner. They haven't grown in the last month.
Mackie.
It gets turned on like twice a week. I need to put like a plug on it that just does it for me.
Oh yeah. Smart plugs all the way.
Yeah. It's literally just made me lazy at this point.
Cool. Well, thanks for another one, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, listening to us get off topic.
Yeah. Reminder to check us out on the socials. Come join our little community on Discord.
Yep. Don't forget our sale on September 7th.
Yep. For locals, September 7th, New Brighton. We're going to sell our plants.
Yep.
Help me make room.
Yeah, come buy my mother plants for like 20, 30 bucks. Get them out of my house.
That'd be a nice price.
That's the only way they go.
Alrighty.
All right, folks. Stay rough.
We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.